This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I would like to share a quick thought with you guys regarding Kyle Shanahan in San Francisco. And then Rob and I would like to cook up a couple of parlays for you this weekend if you're looking for a little bit of action. First off, I think that Kyle Shanahan is going to be the Bill Cowher of his era. Bill Cowher was a phenomenal coach for quite some time for the Pittsburgh Steelers. He paid his dues as a coordinator. He finally got his opportunity to become a head coach of a historic team like the Pittsburgh Steelers. He had that job from 1992 all the way up until 2006, and he had gone to Super Bowls. They went to AFC Championship games, and they always knocked on the door, but he was unable to sort of walk through it. He had a couple of down years. There was a three-year stretch in which Bill Cowher and the Pittsburgh Steelers missed the postseason, 98 to 2000. They also had a 6-10 year right before they went 15-1 and lost to the Patriots in the AFC Championship game. But you know what? 1 year, certainly not one of their best teams. Eventually, you know what happened? Bill Cowher and the Pittsburgh Steelers won the Super Bowl, and that was the end of Bill Cowher's career. That sort of feels like how things are going to happen for Kyle Shanahan. Now, I don't mean this is any shade, but that's not too different from the story that Bill Self has. Bill Self was a phenomenal coach for a long period of time, but was unable to get over the hump. And you know what? Eventually, 1 year, everything aligned, and eventually, KU won the national championship, and Bill Self went from somebody who could never win the national championship to now being considered the best coach in college basketball. It feels like that's Kyle Shanahan's story. Is he Andy Reid? Of course not. But if you look at the last 4 years, now that he has got things going with San Francisco, 13-3, they lose in the Super Bowl to Kansas City. They go 10-7, they get to the NFC Championship game. They go 13-4, get to the NFC Championship game last year. 12-5, lose in the Super Bowl. Eventually, if you keep taking as many swings as San Francisco has taken over the course of the last 4 or 5 years, eventually you connect with one of them and you eventually make it to and win the Super Bowl. So I don't know when that door is going to open for Kyle Shanahan. Maybe it's this year, maybe it's next year, maybe it's 7 years from now. But if you were asking me right now, do you think that Kyle Shanahan ends his career without a Super Bowl? I don't think you can say that. He's 44 years old. How many more years do we think that Kyle Shanahan has to do this and at a high level? And I think he has shown one of the best skills that you can have as a head coach. He clearly knows how to develop quarterbacks. You don't get to the Super Bowl with Jimmy Garoppolo. You don't get to the Super Bowl with Brock Purdy and do it with the various pieces that you have if you are not somebody who has a system and a scheme and knows how to get the most out of the pieces that you have. Kyle Shanahan is eventually going to break through. I don't know when, but he's too good of a coach to end his career without winning at least one championship.
I don't hate your Bill Cowher comparison. I think it's very good. I will raise you another Pennsylvania coach. Is he Andy Reid? Andy Reid was wildly successful in Philadelphia. They went to, what, 5 straight NFC title games, 4 straight NFC title games, and a Super Bowl? And he was doing it with a guy that at the time we thought Donovan McNabb is good. But now if we look back with hindsight at Donovan McNabb's stats, we're like, oh, Donovan McNabb was just okay. He was winning and winning and winning at a high level, but never got the big one. You want to know why? He never had the quarterback. I feel like if you give Kyle Shanahan the quarterback, and I know it's going to come off like shade to Brock Purdy, but we all know Brock Purdy is not in the same hemisphere as Patrick Mahomes. If you give him a Mahomes type, if you give him a Peyton Manning type, if you give him like how Sean McVay needed Matt Stafford, if you give him a guy where it's there's the pedigree, there's the arm talent, there's everything, I think he breaks through. But Bonte Hill, who's on the show earlier, said it best. Is that going to come in San Francisco? Is he going to break through with the Niners? Andy Reid never broke through with the Eagles. He had to leave, and then eventually he broke through. I agree, Shanahan's eventually going to win one. I just wonder if it's in San Francisco or if he's going to find pay dirt somewhere else. One day he's the head coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars. He nailed the draft pick the way the Chiefs nailed the Mahomes pick, and then it's watch out world. That's kind of how I think his history goes.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. I just don't think that they're getting rid of Brock Purdy. This is where I think people are a little bit unfair to Brock Purdy. We watch football every single weekend, and you see how, I would say, quarterback play fluctuates so much over a game-by-game, week-by-week, season-by-season. At some point, when do we evaluate what Brock Purdy is versus what we think that Brock Purdy should be? Since Brock Purdy has taken over as the quarterback of the San Francisco 49ers, he has thrown 53 touchdown passes, 19 interceptions. His quarterback rating over the last 3 years is 108, and San Francisco is 20-7 with him as a starter. He also has helped guide his team to a Super Bowl and an NFC championship game. Like, at what point do we just kind of look at Brock Purdy and say,
Yeah, but in that...
Pretty good.
Couldn't that be Donovan McNabb? Donovan McNabb was pretty good. But Donovan McNabb was never Tom Brady. He was never Peyton Manning. He was never one of those dudes. I actually think Brock Purdy has wildly improved since I used to call him Bush Light Boy. He's better now, but I still don't think he's the transcendent type. And my Andy Reid comparison for Kyle Shanahan, when he got the transcendent type, he went from really good coach getting the most out of his quarterback, who was never a bum, but still getting the most out of him, to suddenly it was like, whoa, mad genius territory.
Yeah, you're right, but I don't know if we've ever seen a coach kind of do what Andy Reid did, where so late in his career, you just finally get gifted. And gifted sounds a little more harsh than I intend for it to sound, but give me the coach that just couldn't win a championship in their first 15 years, and then at the end of their career, you now have the best quarterback of your generation. I don't think that Shanahan wins three or four of these things. I think he eventually gets one. If you're asking me right now, who are some of these other coaches? And someone on the text line says, not when Mahomes is in the league. CDOT, you talk about how he's blocking so many other players. But I also say this, eventually other players start winning championships and other coaches start winning them. I don't think that Patrick Mahomes wins 11 Super Bowls over the course of his career. Think about how great Tom Brady was. Other people have rings during the Brady era. Peyton Manning has 2 Super Bowls during that time frame. Aaron Rodgers has 1. Russell Wilson went to 2 Super Bowls. Now, it wasn't Joe Flacco won a Super Bowl in the middle of the Patriots dynasty. So again, I'm not saying that Patrick isn't going to get his fill. He is certainly in the course of eating a lot of it. Other people are going to win championships. Josh Allen eventually figures out a way to win one of these things. Kyle Shanahan, these guys to me are just too good and have been good for too long to not figure out a way to get a little slice of the pie for themselves. I know that Peyton Manning was never going to end his career with 0. Now, he didn't get to 4 or 5 the way that Brady did. There was never a scenario, never an NFL of which Peyton Manning retires with 0 championships. He was just too good of a quarterback. And when you're a good quarterback like he was for 15 years, eventually it just becomes your turn. Shanahan's too good to me to think that he just doesn't have a turn at some point. Again, I'm not sure when it's going to be. He eventually has one.
I agree. He is too good of a coach to never, ever get one. And he's been too close. Like, I know the text line is saying, well, he doesn't have a championship, so why are you guys talking like this? He's been twice. If you go twice in a 5-year window, you are probably going again. Maybe not 2 times in the next 5 years, but you're going back. Sean McVay, when he went, we all knew he was going back, and he got his. Eventually, if you keep going and going and going, you get one. It's your Bill Self analogy. Everyone said he can never win the Elite Eight. But guess what? If you're in the Elite Eight every year, you're going to eventually win a game in the Elite Eight. That's kind of how I feel about Shanahan. He's going to go to more Super Bowls. And if you keep going, you keep giving yourself a chance to win the game. Ball bounces your way, tip ball gets caught by your team, field goal is missed. Maybe it's a luck factor, but if you put yourself in position, you give yourself the chance.
Coming up in just a little bit, we're going to be joined by Mike Silver, who's based in the Bay Area. He is one of the best NFL writers in league history. All right, before we do that, let's give you our weekly parlay. It's brought to you by Twin Peaks, where you can eat, drink, and see the scene of views. Hit me, Rob! You know what? For my college football pick for the weekend, I'm going to take the Missouri Tigers. Sure, you can call it a homer pick, but the line now has gotten to a disrespectful place to me that just doesn't make a lot of sense given how good I think Missouri can be and hasn't proven it consistently, and how bad I think that Auburn is. Auburn is not a good team, and you're telling me right now I can get Missouri -3.5? No, this feels like a Missouri 27-14 win this weekend in Columbia. 3.5. I jumped on this at the very beginning of the week. I encourage you to do the exact same. It's homecoming. The crowd's going to be rocking. Auburn has a turnover problem. Don't let the Texas A&M game now completely move you off of Missouri. Give me Missouri -3.5. I love it.
The game I'm on, Carrington, is one I think you're on as well. I like BYU tonight -9.5. Now, 9.5 is a big number, especially against a team like Oklahoma State that we thought preseason could be in that Big 12 title race. But you just heard from John Kurtz. Provo is one of the best atmospheres in the Big 12, and I think the Pokes have quit. Like, when you have preseason expectations and preseason hype and it's met with big disappointment, right now is where it's gut check time. And I think the Pokes are done. They got cooked at home by West Virginia. That's when you know season over. Let's pack it up and head home. Ollie Gordon hadn't been that good. I like BYU. You play that number with your Missouri number over at FanDuel, +269.
Okay, I like that one. Give me that right now. I like that at 269. Everybody's on BYU. You know I'm super high, but that number is kind of
big. It's a big number.
I think I'm passing. At least I'm passing on Oklahoma State on the line. I probably would take them in a money line and a parlay. I don't think I would touch that number, at least against the spread. All right, for my NFL pick for the week, I gave you an anytime touchdown last week. I told you Dylan Edwards was going to score. I mean, I've seen the NFL script. Who told you that Kareem Hunt was going to score the first touchdown back in Kansas City? Was it me, Rob? Was it me? Did I tell you that? We've seen the script. Davante Adams is scoring a touchdown this week. Aaron Rodgers is going to throw it to him 15 times this weekend. It is about targets. It is about opportunities. Davante Adams, anytime touchdown. I actually like him a little sprinkle on first touchdown this weekend as well.
I will take the Lions +1.5. They are playing the Vikings. Listen, the Vikings are a great story, and they're a good team. They're a very solid football team, but I think the Lions are a more talented team and maybe a better coach team, and I'm getting points while doing that. The Lions have had the Vikings number, so I'll take the Lions +1.5, plus an anytime touchdown from Adams, Carrington. That's +405.
Let's get it going here. I like that one, +405. Go ahead and mark it down, 4-1 odds. Coming up on the other side, we're going to be joined by Mike Silver, one of the best football writers out there. He is currently writing a book. He lives in the Bay Area. We'll get his thoughts on Chiefs and Niners. That's coming up. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5, The Fan. Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back into The Drive on 96.5 The Fan. We are very happy right now to be joined by Mike Silver, one of the best columnists in the country. He does fantastic work with The Athletic. He also is an author of The Why Is Everything, which was released nationally on October 1st. You can get it on sale wherever you get books. Mike, happy to have you join us today for Chiefs and Niners.
Yeah, it should be a great one. As regular season games go, we should learn a lot more about the 49ers. I think we know plenty about the Chiefs, and it's the usual. They're pretty good.
So I want to get to your book here in a little bit, but I've been excited to ask you this question as someone that knows the Bay Area so much and has just been around so many great quarterbacks. Have you noticed a personality trait or a thing that is sort of uniform across all great quarterbacks? You covered Montana, Brady. We now live in the Patrick Mahomes era. I'm just curious if over your time you have seen, hey, all great quarterbacks possess this thing.
Yeah, and those are going to go down as three of the all-time greats. I think it's fair to say already at this point for Patrick. But, you know, I would say unbelievable unflappability under pressure, which is really hard when 280-pounders are bearing down on you, et cetera. Toughness. And, it, you know, it just not feeling too big, which I think with Mahomes is something that I picked up on right away, and I don't know if that's from being around major league clubhouses as a kid or just the way he's made up or both, but just never felt like he was overwhelmed by any of it in any way. And then finally, I would just say, relentless competitive drive. And, I call Brady the most ruthless competitor that I've ever seen, but obviously Patrick has a lot of that too. And, you know, look, I was really lucky early in my career to be around Montana and Steve Young every day, and then to cover Elway, Marino, Favre, Aikman, you know, these incredible players, Warren Moon. So, I kind of look for those traits the best I can, but with Patrick, it just seemed evident from the beginning, and he's never wavered.
What have you noticed in your time from just being around Brock Purdy? It feels like there's always a lot of conversation about him. And one way where I think we're unfair to Brock Purdy is, I mean, this is the system that he's in, and he has made the most out of it, whether it's been with Christian McCaffrey or Jordan Mason or Brandon Ayuk's holdout. He's been pretty solid for day one as the starter for San Francisco, yet there's a lot of questions about if you want to pay him and how much he is worth once his contract is up. Tell us a little bit more about Brock Purdy, what we don't know about him, and just your time being around him and just watching his ascension to being one of the better quarterbacks in the league.
Well, first of all, they are paying him. Kyle Shanahan basically decided that before Christmas of 2022. So I'll give you my opinion, but it doesn't really matter. He's the guy, and he's going to get paid. I happen to agree. And listen, I had some inside information because I was doing this book, and this stuff is in the book, The Why Is Everything, available everywhere. But I was spending a lot of time with Mike Shanahan during the spring and summer of 2022. And so after Purdy was drafted, 262nd at last, you know, to me that was an afterthought, and I was very interested in Jimmy Garoppolo, who seemed to be on his way out, Trey Lance, who was obviously the heir apparent. And when I would talk to Mike about these things, he kept bringing up Purdy. And there's something at 49er headquarters they refer to as the Shanahan, and that is code for Mike Shanahan wants to watch all the practices and meetings, you know, as soon as he can from wherever he is. So he'd been seeing Purdy in OTAs at minicamp, and he definitely noticed something. Before the first regular season game of 2022, where Trey Lance is getting ready for his debut as the unquestioned starter, I'm in Mike Shanahan's hotel room in Chicago. The Niners are getting ready to play the Bears. And he brings up Purdy again, and he says, when you have a guy like that in your building, you don't let him out. And apparently Mike Shanahan was onto this before anyone else, including Kyle, who's great at it. But I think the kid is, in terms of his abilities, he's unbelievably accurate. He reads it and processes it quickly. He moves better than people think, and I think he's ascending. In terms of temperament, he may look like a kid who's, you know, coming back from econ class at Iowa State, but he's a stone-cold killer. So I think Brock Purdy's going to get better and better, and no one is going to be Patrick Mahomes. Let me make that clear. In this generation, and I don't know about any generation, like that's a different breed that we're talking about, in my opinion, and I don't even want to think about, what he has left in the second and third acts of his career, but I think Purdy's going to be one of those top guys for a long time.
Right now, we're talking to Mike Silver. Mike, the San Francisco Niners team is 3-3. Outside of injuries, is there another reason that you think this team just hasn't really been able to get that momentum going despite being one of the more talented rosters in the league?
Yeah, how much time do you have? It's always hard to come back from a Super Bowl defeat, and they call it the Super Bowl hangover for a reason, and only one team has rebounded from that and won it the next year in a long, long time. That was the Patriots with Brady. But, they changed defensive coordinators, and they're going with Nick Sorensen, who is untested. Brandon Staley, who did such a great job as the Rams defensive coordinator in 2020, is also in the building as assistant head coach, but I think that's a transition. The special teams have just been atrocious, and they've never been really good on special teams. And I know Chiefs fans are sitting here laughing at the punt that bounced off Daryl Luter's leg and changed the momentum in the Super Bowl with Mahomes throwing the touchdown one play later. But the special teams have been kind of a debacle, and that's hurt them. And, they have blown two games that they normally win to two teams that are not their equal, the Rams and Cardinals in the division. So it's an ugly 3-3. They really could be 5-1 and not a super impressive 5-1, but still. So I don't know a lot about them. They've beaten the Patriots. I don't think they're very good. They beat the Jets in Aaron Rodgers' first game in 400-something days. I don't know how to think about that. It was a nice win in Seattle last Thursday, and they kind of started to get, their joy back a little bit. But, I think they just have not been it's not just injuries. They just have not looked as sharp, and they haven't finished the way they normally do. And Brandon Ayuk, who they paid a bunch of money to after a long, drawn-out, dramatic offseason dispute, he's had one good game, but otherwise hasn't been part of the mix too much. And one really interesting thing is that Ricky Pearsall, their first-round draft pick, a wide receiver who could give them some of the things that they lacked in the Super Bowl with speed and suddenness and ability to beat man coverage, he's finally now practicing after a very scary ordeal where he was shot through the chest in a robbery attempt. And they didn't plan to play him this week, but he's looked so good in practice the last few days that I think they may activate him and play him in this game.
I think that Kyle Shanahan is going to be this generation's Bill Cowher. Bill Cowher was a phenomenal coach in Pittsburgh and just couldn't get over the hump. couldn't win a Super Bowl. And then sort of later in his career, you know what? He finally got one. They win the Super Bowl, and everybody was super happy for Bill Cowher because of the work that he had put in and the kind of reputation that he had built. I mean, Shanahan has had some pretty big flameouts, whether it was in Atlanta as the offensive coordinator or losing to Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs in back-to-back Super Bowls. It feels like Kyle's eventually going to get one. I'm just not sure when that's going to be.
Well, I think he's trying to be Andy Reid. And that is, you know, Andy Reid, when he won that first one in 2020, in the Bay Area and Northern California, they were devastated. But everybody else in the football world was so happy. I remember the combine vividly, being with Andy and having people just come up and hug him. And, you know, for so long, he was such a good coach and so revered and just hadn't been able to do that. And now, of course, he's probably going to win 96 Super Bowls. You know, and I don't think he should ever retire at this point, you know, with what he's got going. But that's what Kyle's trying to do, and you're right. You know, a lot of the book is, you know, really focused on this, of course, but he kind of wore the Atlanta, you know, collapse when that normally would be on the head coach, Dan Quinn. And then, of course, the two Super Bowls against the Chiefs, the first one with a 10-point lead midway through the fourth quarter. And, you know, I've been covering sports and watching sports a long time. There's some great players and coaches that didn't win championships because of Tom Brady and Michael Jordan. And I think some of that is just Patrick Mahomes is stealing joy along the way. But yeah, I do think Kyle's a really, really good coach. I think he's gotten better in a lot of the leadership and people skill areas. And, you know, sometimes it's a very, very fine margin of error. On the other hand, every year people go, hey, who do you think is going to win the Super Bowl? And I think about it for about 30 seconds, and I go, it would be kind of dumb for me to pick against Andy and Patrick until proven otherwise, so I'm just going to pick them.
Last question here, Mike, and we appreciate your time. You've now written a couple of books. Tell us a little bit more about the book.
Well, I appreciate you. You know, I had a long gap between my first several books and this one, and I wrote books back-to-back with Dennis Rodman and Kurt Warner. Doesn't get any more divergent than that, but, you know, and the Kurt Warner book, they made into a movie 21 years later, so I've had a really, you know, I'm really grateful for all the experiences I've had. This book really meant a lot to me because it really goes back to my early days as a young beat writer for the Santa Rosa Press Democrat, covering the 49ers in the early 90s, watching Mike Shanahan come in as an embattled guy. He and Steve Young kind of resurrecting their reputations and doing great things, and that's kind of the jumping off point. And I've obviously followed this crew: Kyle Shanahan, Sean McVay, Raheem Morris, Mike McDaniel, Matt LaFleur, and all their offshoots for a long, long time, and kind of understood how different they are and how cool it is what they're doing along the way.
That is Mike Silver joining us on the show. He is one of the absolute best sports writers in the country. He is with The Athletic, and he also is the author of a new book, The Why Is Everything. Be sure to grab that wherever you get your books. Mike, it was an honor and a privilege to have you join us today. Thanks a lot.
Thanks so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Coming up in a bit, I want to tell you guys why I'm picking Kansas City to win this game and go through some of the numbers. Rob, right now, who do you think is the best team in the NFC? I asked that question because San Francisco is a team that is usually in that conversation. They're 3-3 right now. I don't know if you can put them in that category. Washington has gotten off to a very good start. Minnesota is the only undefeated team in the NFC. I like both of the teams in the NFC South between Atlanta and Tampa Bay. And San Francisco is right there hovering around 500 at 3-3. Who do you think is the best team in the NFC?
I honestly think it's the Lions. And I know they just lost Aiden Hutchinson, but I don't think anyone has looked more impressive than the Lions. I know they have lost the Bucks, but we now look back at lost the Bucks, I don't think we view it poorly. That's a team that's going to be a playoff team, and they had a couple turnovers that cost them the game at home. That happens. But when the Lions are clicking, when the Lions are playing at full capacity, I don't know anyone in the NFC can stop them. And if it weren't for really a fluky touchdown with Brandon Ayuk last year, I think we're talking about the Lions having played the Chiefs in the Super Bowl and them being the prohibitive favorite this year. I think they are the best team in the NFC, so I would say the Lions to your question.
It's going to be really interesting if Minnesota wins this game coming up on Sunday. I bring that up because, I mean, the rest of their schedule is not difficult. They had the London game against the Jets. They won that. They've already won their road game against Green Bay. They also beat San Francisco earlier this year. Now, this division is no joke, but you've already won on the road against Green Bay, and if you win this week, you have at least won the first game against Detroit. I mean, after that, I mean, this schedule, it's kind of manageable. You play Jacksonville, Indianapolis, Tennessee, so you play the games in the AFC South. You play Arizona later on this year. You play Seattle. I mean, if you were asking me right now who ends up with the best record in the NFC, I would take Minnesota just because the schedule is there. I'm with you. I do think that Detroit is the best team, but I'm curious to see what happens with Aiden Hutchinson. I'm really intrigued by Washington and how they can keep this offense going over the course of the next couple of weeks or so. Like, you're not catching anybody off guard anymore. And for as much as I like this Commanders team and I think they've been fun, I mean, their four wins are the Giants, Bengals, Cardinals, and Browns. It's just not really that impressive of a stretch. Now, their schedule never really gets difficult. Their next four games are Carolina, Chicago, the Giants again, and they play Pittsburgh. So you want to talk about a team that can get out and run a little bit, and we can look up, and the Commanders are 8-3 on the season, and they're a team that we're looking at and taking very seriously. I think the Commanders are going to be in this conversation. The NFC is just so intriguing to me because of how wide open it is. You don't view it as being wide open in the AFC until otherwise proven. You got to go through Kansas City to get to your destination. I don't know who that team is right now in the NFC. It's traditionally been San Francisco. They're off to a slow start. The Lions just potentially lost their best player. I mean, right now, if you were asking what quarterback is playing the best in the NFC, the answer is either a rookie in Jaden Daniels or it is Sam Darnold, who has never been a great quarterback. The NFC, to me, is just far more intriguing in terms of the storylines than what you're talking about with the AFC, but just because of how wide open it feels.
It is wide open, and that is fun. With the Commanders, don't we see a team like the Commanders every year in the NFL, Carrington, where it's they are good. They are improved. No one is disagreeing with that. But a lot of their rise is very schedule-driven. What's the difference between the Commanders this year and the Texans last year? They on the come up. You feel like they have good things going for them. You feel like they found the quarterback, but a lot of what they're doing is they're playing a last place schedule. And I feel like the Commanders might be the best team in the NFC, and maybe it's unfair by me to disqualify them, but I feel like too often that first year rise, you eventually lose like the divisional round of the playoffs.
Yeah, I think that's a very fair point. The difference I would point out a little bit with Washington is I don't know if there is an on the road against Baltimore that Houston had to run into last year. You remember, Houston won their first game at home against Cleveland. Then you go on the road to the best team in the regular season. I mean, I don't really see a scenario, and maybe I'm wrong, where Washington has to go on the road to Minnesota in the second week of the postseason. Maybe that's how this thing breaks down, and you're right. Eventually, we're going to have to see Washington get tested against the cream of the crop in the league, and there's not a whole lot of cream of the crop on this schedule. Like, there's just not a lot of good teams on this schedule. Like, we might not find out until the very end of the year when they play Atlanta, then they go on the road and they got to play Dallas. They still go on the road and play Philadelphia. That's going to be a difficult game. The Commanders are a team that is very, very intriguing to me as this season keeps going. Coming up on the other side, let's get back to the Kansas City Chiefs. Nate Taylor is going to be on the show in 20 minutes, and I'll also tell you guys why I'm picking Kansas City on Sunday. Keep it right here. So Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
All right. I'm going to give you the two stats and the two, I guess, maybe three stats why I'm picking the Kansas City Chiefs to win this weekend. You guys know I have no problem picking against the Chiefs if that's how I feel. That's just not how I feel this week. The three reasons I'm picking the Chiefs to win this game, they are very, very important. Number one, Andy Reid after a bye week. Did you guys know that Andy Reid has been a head coach in the NFL? This is his 26th season as a head coach in the league. So he's been doing this for quite some time. You know what we love on this show? We love sample size. Andy Reid off a bye week. This is not even extended time. So this is not you play on Thursday night football and then you play the next Sunday. No, a true bye week. Andy Reid is 21-4. He is the best in the history of the National Football League. So wait, you are telling me that we have 25 examples of something. You want me to be on the side of the four and not the side of the 21. That's interesting. So that's one side of the coin. That's reason number one, I am picking the Chiefs. Andy Reid off a bye. Be on that side. And you're telling me he's an underdog in that scenario? I feel very comfortable being in that position. The second biggest reason why I'm picking the Kansas City Chiefs to win this game is very similar to the first one. It's Patrick Mahomes as an underdog. Now, I know that not all of you gamble on these games, but you know what one pretty consistent theme is? You should always take the Chiefs if they are going to give you points and give you money for betting on them. The last time that we were in this situation, it was the Super Bowl. He was underdog. They won outright. So you're telling me, once again, in this scenario, you're going to give me the Chiefs as an underdog, and against the spread, he is 11-1-1? 10-3 straight up? Okay. So you're telling me Andy Reid off a bye. Very rarely loses. Patrick Mahomes as an underdog. He doesn't lose very often, period. Not as a favorite, not as a dog. 10-3 straight up. Okay. That's number one thing. And then number two, do you guys trust San Francisco to run the football in this game? Because I like Brock Purdy. I would say that I am more pro Brock Purdy than a lot of people are. I don't think you can count on San Francisco to run the football effectively in this game. There's no Christian McCaffrey. I don't know when Christian McCaffrey is coming back. Jordan Mason is banged up in this game, so I don't know what he's going to be able to provide you. I don't know how much he's going to be able to help. And if you were telling me that potentially, I don't know this to be a fact, but if you were telling me that potentially their number one running back is Isaac Guerrero, yeah, that team's not beating Kansas City. Not being one-dimensional. So for those three reasons, I have to pick Kansas City in this scenario. I think it's going to be close. This feels like a 23-20 game to me. This feels like a game that is really close down the stretch, but I trust Kansas City to make one or two more plays. You talk about Kansas City being banged up. San Francisco was in almost the exact same spot. They don't have Christian McCaffrey. His replacement is backed up. Their number one receiver this year is Juwan Jennings. He is dealing with an injury right now. Brandon Ayuk has never gotten going. He still hasn't scored a touchdown so far this season. A lot of things to me are pointing in favor of being on the side of Kansas City. I'm sure I will pick against Kansas City at some point. That game against Tampa Bay probably worries me more than it's going to worry you guys. That just feels like a game that the Chiefs lose. We've seen the Chiefs lose that game every year for the last 6 years. But at least this game against San Francisco, I'm picking Kansas City to win this game 23-20.
I actually have Kansas City by the exact same margin with the exact same score. But I'm going to ask you a question. Because we earlier did our Friday parlay. We made a two-leg parlay for both college and pro football. And you told me, man, Vegas knows something and everyone's on one side. I like to zig when people zag. And that is not great logic for picking games. I get that. But Vegas, with all that information, because it's not like the people that make these lines are just bumbling oafs who have no idea. They have those Andy Reid stats. They have the injury report. They have those Patrick Mahomes stats. They still feel like the Niners are better. And I feel like if I pulled up my app and looked at where the money is going, I have a hunch most of the money's on the Chiefs. You told me earlier you like to zig when the book is zagging. It feels like you might be falling into a Vegas trap, because why do they still have the Niners as the favorite knowing all those things? Because it can't just be home field, because the rule of thumb with home field is 3 points, but you're telling me all those other factors take away only 1.5 points?
Yeah, this is where I think sometimes, and this sounds crazy to say, that we give Vegas a little bit of credit. Rob, how much money have you made in your life by KU being a home underdog at Allen Fieldhouse?
Oh, live betting, it's a lot.
Think about that.
I've done well.
The computer algorithm tells you, well, I don't know, I think that BYU is about to win at Allen Fieldhouse. You're sitting there thinking, no, they're not. No, they're not winning this game. We think that Vegas knows something, right? BYU at Allen Fieldhouse is 3.5-point favorites. You can't wait to get on your phone and bet the other side. You're going to give me KU at home with plus money? I understand why the computer thinks San Francisco is going to win this game. I get it. These two teams feel very, very even. These two teams play close games, and San Francisco needs this game more than Kansas City. It certainly would not be a surprise if San Francisco wins this game. I'm just trying to think about what San Francisco is really good at right now. And I would say it's still running the football. Like, I know they don't have Christian McCaffrey. I mean, Jordan Mason is averaging 5.3 yards per carry. He is averaging 100 yards a game. Jordan Mason has performed like one of the top backs in the league. That system, that scheme works. I don't think you can count on them running the football effectively against Kansas City. I got to see one of these teams do it. And if you're telling me that their number one running back is going to be banged up, at least in terms of yardage, their number one wide receiver in Juwan Jennings is going to be banged up right now, who knows what their kicking situation is right now, and their defense isn't the San Francisco defense of old? That's not a team that I can pick in this scenario. I just can't do it. Text line 913-586-7965. I certainly don't say this take as a homer, as I always am going to side with Kansas City. Just if you're telling me Andy Reid is 21-4, so that's a, what, 80% win percentage coming off a bye. You're telling me Patrick Mahomes against the spread as an underdog wins at an incredibly 13 games against the spread. He has been the underdog. They have won 10 of those games outright and pushed the other one. All the math and all the money tells me bet on Kansas City. And maybe you lose, right? Like Andy Reid's lost coming off a bye. Patrick Mahomes is lost. KU has lost at Allen Fieldhouse before. The right side is to always be on picking KU in that scenario. Every single time, under every single scenario, I don't care how many points KU is down, the right side at any moment is to pick KU to win at home. The right side in this scenario is to be on Patrick Mahomes.
If you feel that confident, you should get on your local app before you leave for the Missouri side.
I've already done that, actually. I did that yesterday.
And you're going to make them the favorite. Because if you think they're going to win, don't just waste time on the money line.
Yeah,
make
take
them the favorite.
I took, so the line, I'll tell you what it took. I took Kansas City -2.5. I took the under on points. And I took that, I got it +260. The Chiefs win a somewhat low-scoring game. That sounds like basically the last 3 months of Chiefs games. That's exactly what has happened. The Chiefs have won 22-14. They put the clamps on in the second half, and they figure out a way to win. I think they do that this Sunday against San Francisco. Coming up on the other side, we'll be joined by Nate Taylor. We'll talk wide receiver at the top of the hour. I want to get his opinion. There's been a lot of news, a lot of back and forth about the Chiefs and wide receiver. I want to get his opinions. Keep it right here. So drive.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.